in complete dependence upon the Lord. For his help, I ask your attention to chapter 8 of the Gospel of John, and verse 32. The Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 8, and verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It will be the mercy of God on this day if the truth is to be preached. I believe it could be said that it longs to be continually preached in these walls. And I hope, since this house of God was first built, that in this place the truth has been preached. And if there should have been any occasion in the last few years that it hasn't been, may the Lord forgive. And may we be brought into the truth and to know the freedom that this truth shall bring. These words were spoken to believers. As we read in the verse before, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is a solemn opposite, you know, and that mankind by general assent will believe a lie. It is their nature so to do. And especially too in, we might call it, religious circles. There is only one truth, and that comes from God. And any other under the name of truth, or but just is purely and simply to misuse the word. The only truth that is saving, gracious and glorious, and brings freedom and blessing and comfort, must come from heaven. It doesn't come from the lips of man, though he might speak it. Because there is the truth here in this word, the knowledge of the truth. Not the truth in the letter, that is good and that is right. And the Lord bless us with years to come, if we're spared, to have the truth in the letter. But it isn't sufficient. It's to know the truth, to have the knowledge of it, and that as it is revealed unto us. And the effect of that knowledge, and the fruit of that knowledge, is this, that the truth shall make you free. And it may be too that sometimes the dear Lord, the Spirit of truth, will make the truth declared to you and I, and nature will find it's unpalatable. But it doesn't alter the truth. We've got an old nature that will only hear the truth so long as it doesn't upset us, or distress us, or trouble us. But when the word of God with power and authority comes, and that's where the truth is, and then it is pleasing to the Spirit that he shall make it profitable to our soul, then this old man, this old nature, will rise up against the truth. I told you lots of times, I believe some of us have lived through the years of this cause of truth, but briefly. But there was somebody here once in the ministry of the late dear pastor, who said of his ministry, "I'm not as black as he paints." My friends, that's someone who doesn't like the truth. Because the truth will reveal. And the truth will upset old nature. But the truth will abide. And that's where the difference is. The truth will abide. And the Lord will use the truth for the good of his people. And he will apply the truth. And he will put power in the truth. In the truth, as it shall be heard by you and me, and it shall, according to his gracious mercy, use the truth for the good of our souls. If the Lord teaches you this simple fact that you are a dying sinner, and that you and I must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you won't want to hear anything but the truth. You won't want to be couched up and settled and comforted with those false comforts of which men are so capable of applying, and Satan particularly. But having to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, it will be your desire to hear the truth, and to know the truth, and to realize the effect of the truth, the freeness that it brings. Today, my friends, is a sad day, a dreadfully sad day, when the truth is compromised with, when there is flesh-pleasing discourses and sermons, all to make the ears of the world to indeed be comforted. And oh, how solemn it is. My friends, there's two things in the religious world that you and I must pray against. First of all, that we shall never be deceived. And secondly, that we shall never be a deceiver. Oh, how rooted and grounded it surely is the ministry of sovereign grace in that very truth. If you read Ezekiel, in the prophecy of Ezekiel, you know, and I think it's 33, but I can't be sure, the Lord speaks to Ezekiel the prophet, and he says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me." And he goes on to say, and I can't quote the letter of it, but he goes on to say that if you warn those of their sin and they take no notice, then their own blood is on their head. But on the other hand, if you do not warn and they die in their sin, then their blood is on your head. Now, my friends, it is so evidently revealed in the Word of God, the need of the truth, that it must be preached. And though men will hear, or whether they will not, it must be preached, so that the servant of God shall be free from the blood of all men. Oh, how awful it will be to come to that day when it shall be charged against any man in a pulpit that he did not fulfill that word and preach the word in the truth of it, because he feared the frowns of men, because he courted their smiles. But we as a land and nation have gone from the truth. And this day, as I hear, my friends, there's going to be something happen today that hasn't happened for centuries. And that's how far we've gone from the truth. There's a church service today in Sandringham, and who's the preacher? A cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church. That's who the preacher is today. I knew not this. This is not the reason or the purpose for this text. The Lord gave me this word 2 or 3 days ago. But I felt when I heard those things, my friends, how far from the truth we are going as a nation. And there the Queen the first lady of the land, if we might call her so, is to hear from the words of an impostor what he will have her to hear. Lord, the Lord knows, my friends, the duplicity of false religion. But here today is this county, oh, I believe, my friends, so solemnly, will come under the judgment of God because this wickedness is going on in the midst. Now, therefore, this is spoken, therefore, to believers, not to unbelievers. This is spoken not to those who hate the truth and turn from it. This is not those that are recorded in the 30th of Isaiah. It just comes to my mind as I go on. If you read sometime at your leisure the 30th of Isaiah, and you'll find these words. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. And such to do today, my friends, will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and will be condemned for their work. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is just this to say before we commence, my friends, the certainty to the people of God. Ye shall know the truth. Because the author of truth and declarer of righteousness, the Holy Ghost, will bring his people up, will nurture them, teach them, instruct them, and comfort them under the sound of the truth. And they shall live on the truth. And they shall find in the truth at times to be that it is unpalatable, but they shall live under it and shall prosper under it, and they shall be blessed under it and for eternity. I think further down we may read the rest of the chapter tonight, but in verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now the Lord help us to preach the word and the truth of the word. In looking at this word, I find in John 14 those words of Jesus. And they are to be read and they are to be understood what it is that they mean. I could only find them. But it is this word where the Lord Jesus said unto his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if the truth is to be preached, it is to be the preaching of Jesus Christ. Because by the preaching of Jesus Christ and the application of the truth to the good of one's immortal soul, then shall be known this freedom. Now, I venture to say this also. Before the Lord taught you by his Spirit, you're standing as a sinner. You didn't know you was in captivity. You didn't know you was in prison. Let me just go back to, again, the word of God, because if the ministry in this house of God isn't supported by the word of God, then it is wrong. Now, the word of God will support the truth, because the word of God is the truth. But in that chapter, in Isaiah's prophecy, which speaks about the preaching of the gospel, And you will find the effect of the preaching of the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Oh, I say again, my friends, till the Lord began to teach you a little of your old self, you didn't know you was imprisoned, and therefore you didn't know the freedom that the truth will bring. And ye shall know the truth. And oh, how that truth, by the blessed Spirit of God, applied with power and authority, brings you and I to the knowledge where we are. We are in prison. We are under captivity. And we are shut up into that place until the same blessed Comforter shall come and speak the truth into your soul and deliver you and set you free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, is there not, and you that fear the Lord, and I hope all of you come under that blessed description, has not the word of God brought you into trouble sometimes? Has it not formed in your heart a realization that there's something wrong? That indwelling sin lives there? That this old man is nothing more than dust from the earth, and sinful dust at that? And shall have no union with grace, nor mercy, nor the comforts of the gospel? Has not the truth brought this to light, that you are sinners? Do you know, it has done so from Adam's day to this, and it will do till time shall be no more. The application of the truth by the blessed Spirit, the knowledge of the truth. How many years did we read about sin and salvation? How many years did we sit under the gospel preaching and heard it until we got tired of hearing it in our unregenerate state? And how often has the poor minister been accosted by Satan, as it were, with this truth? It's the same thing, week after week after week. But that's the truth. And if the Lord shines in your soul and reveals your sin, he'll show you the truth of it. And he'll bring you unto the knowledge of it. And you'll fall under the evidence of it. Go back to that godly man David when he sinned. And I said it, I think it was recently somewhere. He sinned with indifference. He sinned without feeling. He sinned without mourning or distress. This was a child of God. This was the man who said, although my house be not so with God, yet thou hast made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And yet you know, you and I can sin without feeling. It isn't always our conscience is touched, but our conscience will be touched when the truth is declared and applied. This is the knowledge of the truth that will bring distress, not the truth in its letter. As I said, we sat under it all the days of our life, heard all sorts of gospel sermons and good discourses and solemn discourses, but it never touched our conscience, because we didn't know the truth, and because we was in Satan's prison, and we were shut up in an unregenerate state, lifeless and dead and unfeeling. But every vessel of mercy shall know the truth, and the truth to old nature will be therefore distressing, disturbing, and troubling. And you'll want to turn from it, and you'll want to go to something else which will boost or comfort or lift up the old flesh. That's why the truth isn't preached, my friends. Because they accommodate the flesh too much. And they lean towards the flesh, these so-called preachers. And they rather the smile of man than the frown of man. And they like to send them home comforted, supported and comfortable in their spirit. My friends, if you're a sinner, and God has taught you you're a sinner. I said on Friday night the words, I was looking at a book where I believe it's John Kershaw, went and saw Huntington. And Huntington said, what a mercy that we're a poor sinner. And he said, there's a lot of poor sinners who do not know it. He said, but what a mercy if you know that you're a poor sinner. Oh, ye shall know the truth, and the Lord will declare it into your heart. It's not what you hear from me or any other preacher that will in its turn do you good. It's what the Spirit of truth will apply of the truth of being a sinner. Ye shall know it. Every vessel of mercy will. Every vessel of mercy will fall under the truth. Well, David was in that hard case, that hard place, where he could sin without being distressed. But then God sent him Nathan, the prophet. And we seem to be saying these things recently quite often. But so he presented to David this parable of the poor man and the little ewe lamb. And oh, how it raised up in David a wrath against such a rich man that should come and take all that was possessed of a poor man. And that's how hard his heart was. And that's how he would have been left. But for the finger of God was pointed. And Nathan said, thou art the man. Oh, you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will hurt. And the truth will distress. And the truth will bring you into great trouble in your soul. That is what soul trouble is, my friends. It's the realization of the truth. The wages of sin is death. And it brings darkness and distress and sorrow. We read the last part of Luke chapter 7 on Friday evening. And there was this dear woman, I keep mentioning her. Well, she's such a dear one, isn't she? She had a softened heart, and she was where I want to be, at the feet of Jesus. And there she poured out her eyes in sorrow and distress and washed the dear Saviour's feet. She knew the truth. There was Christ in all his humility, all his humanity, and all his deity in the Pharisee's house. And there was her, and you might say, in the only place that the poor woman could come to, before the holiness of Jesus, at his feet. She knew the truth concerning herself. You look at the case of the woman who met Christ on the well of Samaria, and she went home, or she went to the city. She was a well-known woman, just the same as the one in Luke chapter 7. Well known for her sinfulness. And she went back to the city, left the water pots, and she said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She knew the truth. Think about that man that is so often spoken of as an example of grace. The publican in the temple, whose prayer was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew the truth. Think of Simon the sorcerer, who he himself believed and was baptized, and then offered money for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He knew not the truth. How far can you go in religion? How far can you go in profession? How far, my friends? Just as far as Satan will draw you. And you shall know the truth. And oh, how often has the truth been preached then? And it has been nothing but discomfort and distress. It has brought you into this house of God in anticipation of hearing something profitable to your soul. And instead of that, the word's done nothing more than condemn you, but it's been profitable. Oh, look not on those times when you've come and gone the house of God with nothing, and therefore you would say, well, it is the most unprofitable day, I've got nothing. But if it's troubled you, if you're a sinner and a praying soul before the throne of grace, you'll come back again. And you'll come again to hear the truth, though it may condemn you under the very sentence of it. Ye shall know the truth. Oh, bless God for the Holy Ghost. Bless God for those words of Jesus. And you know, sensible sinners will not forget those words. He shall teach you all things, not some things. I've often said, how faithful was the Lord's servant Moses. In chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, he said, thou shalt remember all the way of which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Well, has not shame made your feelings in your soul when you remember the things that have gone on before you? Has it not brought you to shame? Well, we would love to remember the mercies of God, said these Jews. We don't want to remember those rebellious times when we wish we were back in Egypt. We would rather remember the times when Moses struck the rock and water came out. We would rather remember the times when manna fell from heaven. We would rather remember those times when the blood was put on the doorpost and lintel. Oh, let us not forget this rebellious, let us forget this rebellious heart, they would say. Or the times we spoke against God and spoke against Moses. Well, we would by nature forget all those things. But Moses said, thou shalt remember all the way. And if the Lord is teaching you, you'll remember the truth, you know. You'll remember the truth. And ye shall know the truth. It will impart knowledge. And it won't be in your mind will that knowledge be imparted only. It will be in your very soul. What did the dear Lord Jesus say in his intercessory prayer? Another word so often quoted. And this is life eternal. Or put it another way, this is the evidence of life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We have always, I suppose, lived in days. It's nothing new, this time that we are going through. Ever since the world has begun, there's always been those that would make the truth unpalatable, or put in its place something which is flesh-pleasing, comforting to old nature, something that will give them something to settle down in their foolishness and sinfulness, comforted by what they've done or what they've said or that they what they've attained. But when the truth by the Spirit is preached, it is preached with power. You know, some of us have to mourn that we live in a day where the preaching hasn't got the power that it used to have. I hope it's got the authority, because if it isn't, we shouldn't be where we are today. But it just seems sometimes in this most evil days in which our lots cast, that the preaching of the word, the power of it is withheld, not withdrawn, but withheld. But I tell you this, if the Spirit speaks into your soul, he'll speak it in power and life and authority. And though you may not gain anything from the lips of man, you'll profit under his discourse to your soul. Well, the Lord Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come. The Father will send him in my name. And he said, I will pray the Father, that he will send you another comforter, even the Spirit of Truth. And the effect of his teaching, and he shall teach you all things, is that you shall know the truth. My friends, you'll always find people that don't want to know the truth. Or, put it another way, they don't mind the truth as long as it doesn't condemn them. They don't mind the truth if it's so satisfying to their old nature. They don't want to have their nest stirred up. They don't want to have some of those things that they've relied upon, supported by and upheld by. They don't want those things to be removed. And they would continue in that condition, which will be so agreeable to nature. But the Lord's people, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, ye shall know the truth. And oh, my friends, you will bless God for the truth, that it has been and shall be revealed to you, and that it shall be imparted to your poor soul in the way of knowledge and in the way of understanding. It will have an effect, you know. I tell you what you'll do. We read about that poor woman taken in adultery. What it will do to you and me, you know, and the sooner it does, the better. You'll lay your stones down quickly when you know the truth. You won't look at this one and that one and judge them as guilty. You won't look at this one and that one and say, well, there they are, they go to chapel or church or whatever, and there they are. You won't look at the world and condemn them for their state and condition. The Lord teaches you the truth concerning yourself. You won't have a stone to throw. Not for a second will you have a stone to throw. What a mercy it will be if you could say, there but for the grace of God go I. And you shall know the truth. But then the blessed work of the Comforter, you know, is not only on the negative side, as people will call it. The Comforter is to declare the truth to every soul that is in Christ Jesus. He shall bring them to know their sinfulness and shame, their lost and ruined condition, and the hopelessness of that case. If you read the Pilgrim's Progress, you'll find that Christian and his companion were shut up in the castle of giant despair. And they were unable to bring themselves out, get themselves out. There was no means, they felt, of escape from his wrath and anger and possibly death itself. Now, I believe it was Saturday. In their experience, a Christian suddenly remembered he had a key. He had a key. And he used that key. He called himself all the fools under the sun. But he remembered that in his bosom was a key. And that key brought him out of the prison. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My friends, the blessed Spirit of God, whose work it is to quicken sinners into life, it is his work to reveal the things of Jesus and to take of the things of Jesus and show them unto you. And in so doing, raises up within the very soul of such this blessed freedom, or this desire for freedom, this longing after freedom, and this searching for freedom. We read in that short two or three verses in Isaiah of what the Spirit of the Lord will do concerning the captives. If you read, and another word comes to me, oh, in that blessed prophecy of Isaiah, oh, rejoice in that blessed prophecy. It's often called the Gospel of Isaiah. Chapter 45 of the prophecy of Isaiah, where the Lord speaks of Cyrus. But in that chapter 45, you'll speak of Christ. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness. That's not Cyrus, you know. He was a man who did not know the Lord. This is Christ in prophecy. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives. Not for price, nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Why will he do it? He will do it for love's sake. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And once the Lord, through his Spirit, has revealed to you the truth respecting Christ and respecting his wondrous work of salvation, him being a surety for his people, him being a substitute at the bar of God's justice between a holy God and a poor sinner, my friends, you will go after the truth. During Friday night, I mentioned again that word in the 12th of Exodus about the blood being upon the doorpost and lintel. And I don't know how many times I've read it, and several times I've preached from it, and some of you heard it numerous times from various ministers. Do you know, I suddenly saw something in it. I've never seen it before. And oh, forgive me, those who heard it. But I mentioned the Jew in the house, that the people of Israel in their houses. And I mentioned that the blood was on the doorpost and lintel. And then I said this, and it just dropped in, as it were, as divine understanding. That blood was between a sinner and a holy God, wasn't it? It was above their heads. It was on the doorpost and lintel. You must needs go under the lintel to get out of a house. And that blood was on that lintel and doorpost. My friends, it was a holy God in heaven that was to judge for Israel the wickedness of Egypt. And between the Jew, between the Israelite, and between the Israelites' God was that blood. It was their safety, you said. Indeed it was. It was their security. It was their protection. But see where it was. It wasn't on the ground. It was above them. It was between them and God in heaven. The destroying angel was be sent from heaven to destroy the firstborn of the land at midnight. And I say it very carefully, my friends. That's truth. He shall destroy the firstborn of the land. But the land of Israel were under the safety of that blood. It was above them. It was between them and a holy and a just and righteous and a very angry God. Oh, that's the truth of that blood. Oh, doesn't it speak mercy and pardon and peace to sinners? Isn't it descriptive of the person of Christ? When you pray, when you approach him, who is the mediator? You're approaching one who stands between in garments dyed in blood. Oh, there is the truth, my friends. And ye shall know the truth. And it shall be revealed to you that there is one who stands between, who did stand between, when the judgment of God was poured out upon the sinful nations of the world and the people of the world and every soul that drew breath in the world. There was a people whose safety was assured because one stood between. Because that glorious person of Christ, as he is between a sinner and a holy God, as one is led of the Spirit into prayer, the mediator, his name is to be pleaded. So it is in the way of salvation. So it is in the provision of God for his dear people. You shall know the truth. Now the truth is, there's a man that stands between. and that blessed man stands between for his people's sake. He stands at God's right hand, the man Christ Jesus, the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You shall know the truth. Bless God for that office and that place and that spot where Jesus stands. Oh, the safety. Oh, the safety of such souls that are in Christ, that he stands between. Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. And Paul wrote, didn't he? Never mind what the poet wrote, truth as it is. The Holy Spirit records the apostles' words, but for our God is a consuming fire. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen.
If the Lord will, there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and our pastor is engaged to preach next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn this morning is 1088. Shepherd divine, our wants relieve in this our evil day. To all thy tempted followers give the power to trust and pray. Long as our fiery trials last, long as the cross we bear, oh, let our souls on thee be cast in never-ceasing prayer. In 1088.
O Lord, do grant thy blessing on the truth. Oh, how men will water it down. How men will compromise with it. Thou canst never. And we believe thy people would not want it so. Now forgive and pardon what has been spoken amiss. The Lord be with us through this day. Grant us strength sufficient, but above all, sufficient grace. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, remain with us now and always. Amen.